Again, looking at this idea, if we are going to be a church that glorifies God, then it's an absolute must that we are strong in God's Word. We have to be strong in God's Word. That is the spiritual protection that God has given us. That is the mind of Christ, that we can know what He thinks about things, whatever it may be. This book touches on every topic that could be out there, whether it's specifically or even through its principles. It touches on every topic. That's how, you know, I can stand up here and I can preach against contemporary Christian music, because the Bible speaks against that. The Bible speaks against the heresies that are being taught within that. The Bible speaks against the likeness to the worldliness and things like that. That's how, because the principles apply to so many different areas. And if we are to be a church that glorifies God, then we must be strong in His Word. Not just a knowledge about it, but we also, and what is lacking in so many churches, that would maybe know the Word of God, is they fall way short in the application of the Word of God. And if we're to be strong in God's Word, then we need to know God's Word, but we also need to apply it to our lives. There needs to be a practical application. Because if God's Word is flowing through us, then guess what? It will change you and me. It will change us. We will not stay the same. Amen. We cannot stay the same. If God's Word is flowing through us, it's impossible. Our church must remain centered on preaching the Word of God, and all of us as individuals openly receiving the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Now, the tendency today is to look down on authority and even disdain it. Authority is not looked on in any good way, really, whatsoever today. Because of this downplay of authority, many preachers are afraid to boldly declare, "Thus saith the Lord." That's a statement of authority. Now, this message, and maybe the next few messages as we look at the rest of, really, we're just jumping into about five verses here of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Today, we're just looking at verse 1. But as we go through this, we're going to look at the first five verses. And as we do that, really what this is it's a mandate or a challenge to the preachers within this church of this is the type of preacher you need to be. This is the type of preacher that Timothy needed to be. That Paul told Timothy, "Hey Timothy, here's what you need to do. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." He gave him a charge and he said, "Timothy, this is what you need to do. This is the type of preacher you need to be." And some of you ladies might be saying, "Well, I'm not a preacher. This doesn't apply to me." Yes, it applies to everybody in here, because if this isn't the type of preacher that you are, not every man in here, not every man that's going to come here is going to be a preacher, and that's fine. But this is the type of church and the type of preaching that we need to be under, is authoritative preaching, because we stand on the Word of God, not because we're preaching our opinions, but because we're preaching the Word of God. Amen. And we can stand on that. Like it says, in season and out of season, when it's popular and when it's not, when it's accepted and when it's not. When my family will be mad at me and when they won't. That's what it means. That's what it means. We stand on "Thus saith the Lord." You know, what we have in the Word of God is no different than if Jesus walked in and He looked at each of our families and He said, "I need you to fix this, this, and this." It's no different what we have right here. We have the mind of Christ.
That's good.
And if God came and told us that, we'd all be like, "Oh, well, Jesus said it. We better do it." But because it's just in His written Word, we say just His written Word. We say, "Well, we don't really have to." Because He's not standing here right now, and we're not going to face, you know, judgment for our lack of obedience immediately. So therefore, we don't see it as authoritative. Because we don't like authority. Because we've been taught, the world teaches us to disdain authority. God does not. God does not. We need not fear to stand boldly and forthrightly in declaring God's Word. None of us. Not one of us in here doesn't need to fear standing boldly for the Word of God. There should be no fear in that. We have the very words of God. As you see in the chapter before, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 15. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And then he says this, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." All of it, all scripture. Meaning everything we've got right here. It's given by inspiration of God. That means God gave it to us. God gave us His Word. And he says, and it's profitable for these things, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the man of God can be complete, can be everything God wants him to be. God says, I've given you everything you need to be what you're supposed to be. And it's all found in the Word of God. And I challenged the teens yesterday to want to love and desire the Word of God and want to follow after the Word of God and want to let that be their passion in life and let that drive them. And I say the same things to us today, is that the Word of God needs to be a passion in our life. It needs to drive us. And we need to seek after it as for hidden treasures, as for gold. That's how we should seek after the Word of God. Because the Bible says it's profitable. It's profitable. And it can make you the person that God wants you to be if you'll let it. If you'll let it. But this is what Paul tells Timothy. You've got everything that you need. And the same thing for us today. We have the very words of God. We have everything that God wants us to have. The scriptures are enough to bring the lost to salvation. It says right there that from a holy child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The scriptures can bring people to salvation, but they can also perfect, complete, mature the believer as well. It's everything that we need. The reason that the scriptures can do all of this is because they are from God. They're from God. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. That's how they can do all of this. And that's the authority we stand on. And that's what we're, why we're able to preach and get up and boldly declare it in the face of those that say, you're hateful, you're mean. No, I love God. And I'm going to stand where God says to stand. Amen. As Paul jumps into chapter 4, Timothy has seen, heard, and been an eyewitness to the power of what Paul is saying. He's been with him. He's traveled with him. He's seen Paul do these things. He's seen Paul preach the word. He's seen Paul. His introduction to the ministry was Paul being stoned. If you read about that, I think it's Acts chapter 11, if I'm not mistaken. Acts chapter 11. Timothy's introduction into the ministry is hearing Paul preaching. I believe that's probably when he got saved. And then watching him get stoned. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? He's witnessed the power of what Paul is saying. He's witnessed the truth of what Paul is saying. And now he's giving this charge to him. Timothy can have confidence in the authority of the Word of God, and he knows it. Paul's simply reminding him of it. That's why it's so important for every single one of us in here, every one of us in here, that we would know the God of this Bible and that we would know the power of the Word of God and we would see it work in our lives. Man, I hope we desire to see God's Word work in our lives and it really change us and impact us. I hope we would desire for that and we would want that. I mean, that's real Christianity. I would hate to be around some dead Christianity that does nothing. I would hate. I grew up in that, as a matter of fact, and I didn't have anything to do with it. I wanted nothing to do with it. I was around that dead nonsense, just some dead religion. Amen. That's what I was brought up in, and I wanted nothing at all to do with it. I'd hate to be brought up in that. I would, man, if you're coming here and that's how you feel about this, what are you, open your eyes. What are you looking at, man? There's so many changed lives here based on what the Word of God has done. That you ought to have a passion for what God has a passion for. Amen. You ought to love this. Man, you ought to be excited to be a part of it. I mean, you ought to be excited to go paint walls and get paint in your hair and paint on your brother's clothes and everything else like that yesterday. You ought to be excited about doing stuff like that because we're doing the Lord's work. Amen. Man, I ought to be excited about breaking four drill bits trying to put some stupid insulation up on the door frame. Me and Cord, he was there helping me faithfully. We ought to be excited about stuff like that. Amen, because we get to serve God. Man, we ought to be excited to do that. Every preacher needs to have the right view of the Word of God and of their responsibility to preach exactly what God says.
That's right.
Every preacher needs to have the right view of the Word of God and their responsibility to preach exactly what God says. Every preacher. I'll take it a step further. Every Christian, as we share the truths of God's Word with people, there's a responsibility before us to say exactly what God says.
Amen.
But this charge is given specifically to preachers. And preachers lead. And they set the example for others. And this is what Paul's telling Timothy. Timothy, I'm putting this charge before you and we're going to look at what that is. This passage deals with what type of preaching ministry God is looking for from His preachers. That's what it deals with specifically. Again, like I said, this is going to be a help to all of us. Even if you're not a preacher, because it's going to show you what type of preaching ministry you need to be under. And if you're not, then why? Why? And if you're, I would say, obviously, I'm the one preaching this, so I would say you're under a ministry like that. I think so. I mean, if I'm the one preaching this, hopefully you are. I believe you're under a ministry like that, but if you're here under it, have you voluntarily placed yourself under it? That's important as well, that you would willingly not just attend, but that you would submit to the Word of God.
Amen.
Submit to the preaching of the Word of God in your life. And it's something you're just going to continually have to do. Paul said, I die daily. Yep. I die daily. I got to kill it again because I don't want to do it. And I got to kill it again. Kill those fleshly, worldly desires in my life, and I got to deny myself and follow after the Lord. A biblical preacher is going to recognize his responsibility to testify on behalf of the Lord. We're there in verse 1. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And he goes on to say, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Father, we come before you, Lord, asking you to help us, please. God, I pray that we would take serious this charge that's given before Timothy, but you've sought to keep here recorded perfectly for all generations, Lord, and for us today. And God, I pray you'd help us submit ourselves to it and see the vast responsibility that every preacher has to preach exactly what you say. God, help us to do that and to be a church that does that and a church that pleases you and glorifies you through the preaching ministry, whether it's here in this building as we assemble as a church or whether it's out on the streets as we take the gospel to people. Lord, help us be faithful to you. Please, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A biblical preacher recognizes his responsibility to testify on behalf of the Lord. It says right there, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, a charge. You say, what is a charge? This charge is the responsibility that's placed on every God-called preacher's account. We think of, today we call them credit cards, but we used to call them charge cards. You charge something and you put it on that account. Okay, this charge is the responsibility to preach exactly what God says that is put on every preacher's account. That's what Paul is telling him, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, you need to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. This is put on his account. This is a responsibility that's put on Timothy's account, but not just Timothy, every God-called preacher. It's on your account. This is your responsibility. God has placed this on your account. Acts 7:60 says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. What's he saying? Don't put it on their account. Don't put this sin on their account. I charge thee, therefore, I'm putting this on your account, Timothy. Timothy, this is on your account. I want to remind you what's on your account. I want to remind you of your responsibility, and every preacher needs that. This is a reminder of what's your responsibility as a God-called preacher and what I expect of you, God says. It's a responsibility placed in the preacher's trust by the Lord. His trust. He's a steward. See, we are stewards, Paul said, of the mysteries of Christ. Yeah. We are stewards of the truth of the Word of God. And it's incumbent on us to feed the sheep. That's what Jesus told to Peter. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Paul talked about in Acts chapter 20 as well. He told the elders of the church of Ephesus to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Feed them. Feed them. This is on every preacher that we would feed people the Word of God, exactly what God says, and not change it, not make it something else, which is so much of what's happening today. Because if the preacher won't preach what God says and make proper application of it too, implied in all of this, let me just stop and say, implied in everything that I'm saying is making proper application of it. Application to today, to the world we live in today. Not to the world of Rome, but the world we live in today. That it doesn't help people if we just keep it in the past. That's why people say, I'm done with church. That's an old book. That's a dead book. It means nothing to me. It doesn't apply to my life today. Well, you're saying that because your preacher doesn't apply it to your life today.
Amen.
So what a sad testimony to the preachers that they've been under. See, it ought to apply to our life today. You ought to come to church and feel uncomfortable sometimes.
Amen.
You ought to. I mean, look what it says right there. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, and then get this, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. So I'm looking at this. I'm 2/3 of the times you're here, you ought to be uncomfortable. The Bible says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and then build up. We want to build up. But I want a biblical pattern after this ministry here, so I'm thinking 2/3 of the time it ought to be you're uncomfortable, 1/3 of the time you're being built up. And that's what we want to do. But if we don't make proper application, that doesn't happen. If we just leave it in yesterday, then people think, well, what good is the Word of God to me? And we wonder why we're losing young people. Why young people are just leaving in droves. Part of the problem is there's no proper application to the Word of God to their life today. None. I mean, what in the world is going on that kids are eating Tide Pods? I'm like, how dumb can you be?
Right.
Seriously, how dumb can you be? And then I look at some of the things I did and I was like, oh yeah. I get it. That dumb. Oh, okay, yeah. I just remind myself how dumb when I look at some of the things I did. I didn't eat Tide Pods. All right. I could keep going. I won't. Each preacher has been given a trust by the Lord, and we cannot shrink from this God-given mandate, but we have to rise to the challenge in a generation where there is a dearth of godly men who are willing to stand for the Bible. To every man in here, you need to rise to the challenge and speak forth the Word of God, because there is a dearth, there is a famine in the land, and a famine of hearing the Word of God. There's an absolute famine. Nobody wants to hear the Word of God. Paul told us that that was going to happen. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We are right there today. We're right there today. And just for evidence and proof of that, just look at everything going on with Billy Graham and everyone whining and complaining about that and lifting him up like he's some great man of God. He was not a man of God. He wasn't faithful to the Word of God. He didn't stand on the Word of God. He didn't stand where the Bible says to stand. He wasn't faithful. He didn't keep this charge. He wasn't instant in season and out of season, reproving and rebuking and exhorting. He never reproved and rebuked. All he did was exhort.
Right.
And that's not faithfulness to the Word of God. That's not a man of God in my eyes. If you won't preach all the counsel of God, that's what the Bible says to do. Paul said, I have shunned not to declare the whole counsel, all the counsel of God unto you. I preached all of it. In another place he says, well, you hate me because I tell you the truth?
Amen.
You hate me because I say what the Bible says? That's where so many people are at. And there's a dearth of men of God that will stand up and preach the Word of God. And we need men that will stand up and preach the Word of God. That's what we need today. Now I got to fix this thing. You guys think it distracts you? It distracts me. Oh man, this whole thing fell apart. All right, I'm going to have to do my pounding over here. This is nothing new though. Genesis 6, it says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh has corrupted itself its way upon the earth. All flesh, it's nothing new. We think, oh, this is just for us today, and things have gotten so bad today. Yeah, sure, because we're being, you know, dragged through the streets naked and burned alive.
Right.
Things are just as bad today, right? Nobody wants to hear it. You sure? I don't think they wanted to hear it then. Have you been dragged through the streets, you know?
Right.
Have you been lit on fire for the testimony of Jesus Christ? Have you been tied to the stake? Have you been put on the rack? You sure it's just as bad? It's always been this bad because this is the heart of men. But again, I understand that he's saying the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Man, we're right there on the doorstep of that.
Amen.
We're on the doorstep of that right now, and I think it's going to get worse.
Yep.
Just based on what the Bible says, it's coming. It's coming. Look at in chapter 3 of the 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous means extremely difficult, dangerous, fierce. God's saying, hey, in the last days, if we're not there, I don't know where we're at. I don't know where we're at if we're not there right now. He says, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, and get this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Billy? From such turn away. Amen. He has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. You see what I mean? If you all weren't already used to this type of preaching, some of you would get upset. Some people have gotten upset because I preached against Billy Graham. God says to turn away from somebody like that. Amen. He had a form of godliness but he denied the power thereof. He said, and I quoted, I've shown you the video, his own words, saying that, oh, you know, whether they know about Jesus or not, in the Muslim world, the Buddhist world, doesn't matter. They follow whatever light they have, and I believe they're in heaven. It's a paraphrase right there. Billy Graham himself said that, from such, turn away. Turn away from that wicked ungodliness. All he's done is led people astray. All he's done is led people back to that great whore, the Catholic Church, that we just looked at with all her damnable heresies. That's all he's done. He's the greatest heretic of the 21st century, the 20th century. The greatest. Because he's led the most people astray. The Bible says, from such turn away. It's no new thing. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is that not today? Where it's all about me, everything that I want, they're covetous, they boast, they're proud, they blaspheme God, they're disobedient, all of this stuff. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And they all have a form of godliness. See, this antichrist world that will persecute Christianity and always has a form of godliness. They always have some form of religion. Always. But they deny the power thereof. Give us baby Jesus. Don't give us the man Jesus. Because he preached repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's what he preached. But it's nothing new what we see happening. Righteous men have always been a scarcity. Psalm 12:1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. That's a hard one. Theeth. The godly man theeth. It's always how I feel like I say that. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. And then Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because as iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. It grows cold. It grows cold. This charge is to specifically testify on behalf of the Lord. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This same Greek word for charge is used as testify 11 out of the 15 times it's used. Acts 2:40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's Peter preaching right there. He testified. See, it's to testify on behalf of the Lord. That's what we're to do. That's what this charge is. It's to stand up and speak on behalf of God. That's what men of God are called to do, is to speak on behalf of the Lord. That's what the charge is. That's what all of this is. That's why he says, preach the word, because you're testifying on behalf of God. And that's what every one of us needs to do. In Acts 8:25, it says, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord. Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Acts 18:5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That's what men of God are to do, testify on behalf of the Lord. Paul's manner of ministry in Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there it is again, right there. If we're to testify and speak on behalf of God, what are we to preach? Repentance. Repentance. Acts 23:11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Speak on behalf of God. That's the charge before the God-called preacher. He's the mouthpiece for God, and it is a responsibility we cannot back down from. If we back down from it in a church like this, where's it going to come from? Where will it come from? If we back down, where's it coming from? Who's going to stand up and preach? Who's going to boldly declare what God says? I mean, tell me, where's it happening around here? Honestly, I mean, seriously, where? I'm not saying that biblical messages aren't preached in other churches. I'm not saying that at all. Because they are. Man, I've heard, you know, like I said, Billy Graham preached the gospel. And it was straight. I've heard other messages just from some of the even much more compromised churches from around here like Calvary and stuff. And the things they said, it was biblical. It was biblical. But again, what have I warned many times about? The danger is not in what's being said so much. And there is danger in what people say. But for the most part, it's not in what's being said. The problem is what? Exactly, what they don't say. What they don't say. See, they just exhort. They don't reprove and rebuke. That's the charge before Timothy, before every preacher, is to preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There's that nasty word again, doctrine. But that's what we're to do. That's the charge. So they're not doing that. And if they do, it's so general, there's no application to it in life. Oh, just stay away from those wicked movies. Well, which ones?
Right.
Well, the wicked ones, the bad ones. You know, I remember when we went to Calvary, we went there for, you know, right at the time when I got saved, and we were going there, and I remember that it was probably before I got saved they said this, but they said, hey, we're going to be doing baptisms, it's going to be at such and such pool, and they said, just come wearing a modest bathing suit. Okay, that doesn't exist, by the way. I'm just letting you know that doesn't exist. Okay, seriously, it doesn't. Just come in your modest underwear. That's what it is. That's what it is. So what's modest? Well, we won't actually define it for you. Because if we defined it for you, then, well, most of the ladies sitting in there would have to go. Not that they can't be there, but you understand what I'm saying. They would get mad and get their feelings upset and get hurt. So we're to testify on behalf of the Lord. The God-called preacher is the mouthpiece for God, and it's a responsibility we can't back down from, as I said before. Preachers will stand before God and give an account of how we handle the Word of God before the saved and the lost. And I'll get to that next week. The charge is put before us, though, to testify on behalf of the Lord. Are we willing to do that? We need to testify on behalf of God. Because that's what He's commissioned us with, to preach the Word. Not our opinions, not what we think, not what we like, but to preach the Word, whether we like it or not. That's the charge. It's the order from the captain of our faith. Direct from heaven to His soldiers. Here's the order. Are we going to be faithful enough to hold to it? And that goes for everybody in here. Are we going to be faithful enough to hold to what He says? To hold to what His Word says? Not want to walk around with blinders on and be like, don't tell me about that. I don't want to hear about that. Because if you tell me about that, I'm going to have to fix it in my life. I already know it's wrong. That's like when people ask me, hey, pastor, what do you think about such and such? Is this okay? I'm like, I don't need to answer that for you. You already know. That's why you're asking me. You already know. I've been there. You already know. If you have to ask, if you were to do it, you'd be sinning against your conscience because you already know it's wrong. Even if it might not be wrong for somebody else, it's wrong for you because you don't have a good conscience toward God about it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you can't do it in faith, God says it's sin. So it's just like, we want to keep the blinders on and be like, man, I've heard enough already. Look, this is why people don't come to a church like this. And I'm not saying it's because I'm anything great. That's not it. We just preach the Bible. That's what we do. Okay, it has nothing to do with me. But they won't come here because they're like, don't tell me what I'm doing wrong because I don't want to have to fix it. I don't want to be accountable to it. And they think we just get like a get out of jail free card. I didn't know. Why? God says, I gave you my word. Why didn't you know? Why not? That's your fault. He's still going to hold us accountable to it. Amen. Even us. Everything we don't know. I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Preacher never told me that. And God's going to look at you and say, well, why weren't you reading your Bible?
Amen.
That's what He's going to tell you. Excuses will be done away with. We stand before Him. We have no excuses, none of us. None of us. But take the blinders off if that's you. You say, I don't want to hear about that. I've been there. Man, with this whole thing about getting rebaptized and ordained, I was like, after I read it, I was like, no, why'd I hear that? I didn't want to hear that. I mean, that's how I was. I was like, no. Because I knew what I had to do. I knew what I had to do. And I didn't want to. We got to love God's word enough that we're willing to obey it.
Amen.
We're willing to submit to it. So that's what I'm putting before you. Do you love God's word enough to submit to it, to follow it, especially when it's hard? Let's talk to the Lord.